He's done his part. And as Chris mentioned this morning, as we prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper, that it's now up to us to do our part. You'll remember perhaps in Acts chapter 2 and verses 40 and 41, as Peter was setting forth the very first sermon, as the church began that day, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So those who received his word were baptized. And so he said to be saved, and it was something that they needed to do in response to the word of God. Perhaps you remember James chapter 1 and verse 21, "In humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." And so it's up to us to receive that word as the authority for our life and to do the things which God commands within it. And perhaps you remember Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." There are things we need to work out in our life to bring our lives in harmony with the word of God and those things which he would have us to do. As has already been read this morning over in Mark chapter 8, if you'll like to turn your Bibles there, if they're not there any longer, in Mark chapter 8 and beginning in verse 34, that Jesus tells us how to keep our soul, how to save ourselves from this perverse generation. He says here that there are four things that we need to do. First of all, as we look at this passage in verse 34, he tells us that we must deny ourselves. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, I want you to notice with me this morning that Jesus Christ, our Savior, also had to deny himself. You remember, as the Apostle Paul is telling us here, what Jesus did. As Jesus had this attitude of humility within himself. That verse 6, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard that equality with God a thing that was to be grasped. But in other words, it was something he was willing to let go of for a period of time. Now notice in verse 7 it says, "But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And Chris read about that this morning from the book of Hebrews. That Jesus Christ had to empty himself. He had to deny himself. He had to let go of that which he desired most of all. And he emptied himself. He denied himself of those things which he had in heaven. To be equal with God, to have that power which he had in heaven. And he denied himself for a period of time to come to earth and to live as a bondservant, literally a slave, so that you and I could be saved. And we too must deny ourselves. We deny ourselves of those passions, those sinful passions that we may desire. Those things which separate us from God. And we deny ourselves of those things so that we can live in harmony with God and His Word. This is a hard thing to do. Turn your Bibles back over to the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 10. This is not an easy thing to do. I'm sure it was not an easy thing for Jesus Christ to do. To empty himself and to leave heaven and to come to this lowly, miserable earth to be persecuted and treated as he was treated. It was not an easy thing for Jesus to do, and it's not going to be an easy thing for us to do either. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 23. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard is it? How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And you know, as well as we've talked many times before, everyone here is rich. Everyone in our country are the richest in all of the world, and it is hard for us to enter the kingdom of God. Why? It's hard for us to deny ourselves. We're rich and we live in luxury and we have things so easy in our lives. We drive nice automobiles. We live in nice homes. When it's hot outside, it's cool in our homes. When it's cold outside, it's warm in our homes. We have plenty to eat. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat from day to day. And we live in a country where there's so much prosperity. And what is it we have to deny ourselves of on a daily basis? Not very much. I was talking with Jerry Flatt the other night. We were talking about ice cream, how we both like ice cream. And I said, you know, I can get into this habit of eating ice cream every night. And you know, the scales just go up and up and up and up. I have to deny myself, you know, or I get into all kinds of trouble with that. And so as people, we have to deny ourselves of the things which would separate us from God. And I want you to remember from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that most people are not willing to do that. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate that is small and the way that is and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Most people in life are not going to be willing to deny themselves of the earthly pleasures here, the sinful pleasures, and follow after Jesus Christ. Not many are going to be willing to take up their cross and follow after Jesus. Back to Mark chapter 8. As Jesus said in verse 34, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross." We all have a cross to take up. The cross represents those things which we must deny ourselves of. We all have a cross. We all have something in our life that makes it difficult to follow Jesus Christ. We all have something we must deny ourselves of. Those things that we love to do, those things that separate us from God. We all have a cross. All of us have some difficulty in life, something that makes it difficult for us to follow after Jesus Christ. And we must take up this cross. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our man of sin might be done away with, so that we would be no longer be slaves to sin." When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, this old man is put to death. He is crucified. We have a cross to take up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, he says, "I die daily. Upon the cross is that which men die." Paul says, "I die daily. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ living within me." And so Paul, having yes indeed died when he was baptized, just as all of us here, he died every day. We must take up our cross every day and follow after Jesus Christ, denying ourselves of those things that would separate us from Him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead." And so we have a cross. We must take it up. We must deny ourselves. What is your cross today? What is the cross you are bearing? What is the cross you must take up every day to follow Jesus Christ? Turn your Bibles with me back over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. I want you to notice what Jesus says. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth." Well, you know, I thought Jesus came to bring peace, goodwill to all men. But He says, "I did not come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." What is this sword He is talking about? "For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." What is Jesus talking about? Is Jesus some mean, ugly person that came to cause trouble amongst families? To separate families? Jesus is saying there are some difficult decisions you're going to have to make in life. And sometimes these decisions are going to have to be made, even if it causes trouble within your very own family. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it puts us at odds with father or mother, or husband or wife, or children or parents, with friends. There's a cross we have to pick up and carry. There's a price to be paid for being a disciple of Jesus Christ. There are those things which we must deny ourselves of in our life. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here the Apostle Paul is writing to the young man Timothy. And he says, beginning in verse 10, 2 Timothy 3:10, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Now, some generations it's more, and some it's less. You say, in our age, our day, in our time, in our country, the persecution is practically nothing. Indeed, in our country, it is practically nothing. But I remember a young lady who was going to high school, a Columbine High School. And she goes to school in the morning expecting it just to be a normal, everyday situation at school, and her faith was tested. That could have happened to any one of us that day. It could have happened to us at a number of places, at work, at school, at the mall, at the supermarket, wherever it is. And she was persecuted that day because of her faith in the United States of America. And asked, "Do you believe in God? If you say yes, you die. If you say no, you live." That was her choice. She said yes, and the gunman said why, and before she could answer, boom! She was shot to death. Young people, that could happen to every one of you. Older people, that could happen to every one of you. Hopefully it will not. But my question to you is today, are you willing to pay the sacrifice today? Are you willing to take up your cross? Are you willing to deny yourself, even your very own life? And I wonder what was going through this young lady's mind when she said, "Yes, I believe in God," as a gun was put to her head. I wonder what just went through her mind all of a sudden. Perhaps she saw her family. Perhaps she saw her friends. Perhaps she saw her, if she had animals at home, perhaps she saw all these things that possibly she was going to be missing out on for the rest of her life. She had a cross to pick up and to bear that day and to deny herself. Yes, even in the United States of America, where there supposedly is not persecution, that day there was. Are you prepared? Yes, you must die daily. Yes, you must take up your cross. And I suspect it's not much of a cross for you today. But if it became a very burdensome cross later today or tomorrow, would you be willing to take it up and to carry it? In Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I want you to understand today that unless you deny yourself and take up your cross, you cannot follow Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that if you have not taken up your cross, if you're not denying yourself today, you're not following after Jesus Christ. You're following after someone else. This is what is necessary for us to do. Turn your Bibles over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps." This is the example Jesus Christ left for us to follow in His steps. And I want you to see in this figurative type of way of talking about these things, as our Lord and our Savior was humiliated and tried, as our Lord and our Savior was scourged and just a bloody mess, as our Lord and Savior was condemned to die, as He took up His cross and was going to Golgotha, and you're walking in His steps behind Him, bearing your cross. Of Jesus, verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to God who judges righteously. And that's what we must do. As we deny ourselves, and as we take up our cross, and as we follow our Savior, Jesus Christ, we must entrust ourselves to God who judges righteously. Even if tomorrow morning you find yourself with a gun put to your house, a gun put to your head, and ask, do you believe in God? Entrust yourself to God and say yes. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 25, Jesus says, it is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. We want to become like Jesus Christ. We want to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus was slain. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was murdered. Jesus was humiliated. Jesus suffered greatly at the hands of sinful men, and we can expect nothing less. In our songbooks, number 347, I thought of a few songs. We're not going to take time to sing them this morning. The song that we sing from time to time, Who Will Follow Jesus? Standing for the right. Holding up His banner in the thickest fight. Listening for His orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus? Serving Him today. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways? Looking for the Master, giving Him the praise. Earnest in the vineyard, honoring His laws. Faithful to His counsel, watchful for His cause. Who will follow Jesus in His work of love? Leading others to Him, lifting prayers above, courage, faithful servants. In His word we see, on our side forever will this Savior be. And I thought of another song, number 97. Number 97, Oh to Be Like Thee. I remember this song as a child. I can just see it today as if it just happened. My father standing before the congregation that we were attending and leading this song, Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like Thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine, all that I am and here I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be Thine. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow after Jesus. And in Mark chapter 8, in verse 35, as Jesus had said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. We must lose our life. I want you to notice this, that as we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after Jesus Christ, we lose our life. It's no longer our life. We're living the life Jesus wants us to live. We're not living the life that I want to live. I'm living the life Jesus wants me to live. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Another song, number 146. One of my favorite songs, a song that I used to sing over and over and over as I went to work and spent my day. I am thine, O Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am weighted, yielded, and still. And I used to pray that over and over and over. Lord, be the potter of my life. Mold me, make me. I don't want to be who I want to be. I want to be the person you want me to be. And indeed, we must deny ourselves. Not to do what I want to do, but to do what Jesus wants me to do. Do what God wants me to do. We must take up our cross and follow after Jesus Christ, suffering all the reproaches of the cross. Follow after Jesus, walking in His footsteps, losing our life. As Jesus continues in Mark chapter 8, as He's told us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow after Him, losing our life, He says this, verse 36. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the profit? We need to think about that. Let's say that I make the decision not to follow Jesus Christ. I make the decision not to obey Jesus Christ. And I forfeit my soul. What does it mean to forfeit? The word forfeit means something surrendered or subject to surrender as punishment for a crime. Did you know that? You think about forfeiting a game. And you think about it is surrendering or giving up the game because of a crime that was committed. I found an illustration of this. There was a Junior Babe Ruth All-Star game. And there are two schools playing, Torrington and Green River. And it was 6-3. Torrington was ahead of the game. There was a storm, lightning came, so they called off the game or postponed the game. And then the weather cleared and they started the game again. And Green River's pitcher went to the mound and began pitching. The umpire stopped the game, realizing that something was wrong, called the commissioner of the league and asked the question, what has to be done? The commissioner says the game must be forfeited by Green River. Why? There was a rule. The rule was that a pitcher could not pitch more than 7 innings in 2 games. 2 consecutive games, only 7 innings by any one pitcher. And this pitcher had gone over that. The rules were broken, therefore the game was forfeited. Now this is what Jesus means when He says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? To break the rules and to gain the whole world, all of the wealth, all of the stature, all of the pride, and forfeit your soul because you broke the rules. Because you broke the law of God. Because you did not deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after Jesus Christ. Therefore, the result is forfeiture. I want you to notice that every person that comes into the world has his soul. Jesus tells us that we must become as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. We all come into this world with our soul, and it's up to us if we're going to keep it or if we're going to forfeit it. What is the answer? What's your decision? To keep our soul, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, speaking of Moses, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We must all make this decision. Is it going to be the pleasures of sin? The pleasures of sin. The glory and the honor of this world of sin. Or is it going to be Jesus Christ? You see, God has put in motion His plan for mankind, Paul says, from the foundation of the world. And He set that in order. And He's done all things from His end that are necessary. Now all that remains is our decision. And Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Exchange. I went to the store one time, and it wasn't all that long ago. And Beth told me some things that we need, and so, as I oftentimes do, I run to the store, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm not really paying attention. I'm just sort of paying attention. I was supposed to get Cheerios. And so I had totally forgot that there are two types of Cheerios. And so I grab the wrong kind of Cheerios, and I bring the Cheerios home, and I think that everything is perfectly fine, and Beth tells me, "You got the wrong kind of Cheerios." And so I had a choice. They're not going to eat those kind of Cheerios. I can take those Cheerios, I can throw them in the trash and just totally waste it, but I turn around and I go back to the store and I take the wrong Cheerios and I give them back and I get the right kind of Cheerios. I exchanged it. And Jesus asks, what will you give in exchange for yourself? What is there in life that is just so alluring and tempting and just so wonderful to you that you'll give an exchange for yourself? There are, you know, some people who are willing to exchange their soul. I found a couple of examples. There was one fella, Kevin Purslove, P-U-R-S-G-L-O-V-E. I don't know if I pronounced his name right or not. Tried to sell his soul on eBay. eBay said, "There's no way you can make good on that. We can't let you do it." There's another guy that succeeded, though. 29-year-old university communications instructor sold his soul to a New York real estate agent for, you want to guess the amount? $1 million? $2 million? $10 million? How about $1,325? $1,325. There are people willing to sell their soul. There are people willing to exchange their soul. I had a fellow that was in the band when I was in high school. He was over at the house one day with some other friends. And he said something that I've not forgotten for 30-some years, whatever it is, I don't know. He said, "I don't care about God. I don't care anything about that. I know I'm going to hell. The way I figure it, I'm going to be shaking hands with so many of my friends down there, I'm not going to care." He exchanged his soul. He knew he did it. He knew the result. And he didn't care. People do that. Are you willing to exchange your soul today? Is there a price you would take for your soul? Jesus says to follow after Him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross. We must lose our life. We have to become the person Jesus wants us to be. Never forfeit. Never exchange. Follow after Jesus. But let's remember what's really important in life. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Let's stay focused on what really is important in life. Jesus here is teaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's going through these things, food, clothing. None of these things are important. Jesus says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after Jesus Christ. Don't worry about the other things that might happen. Don't worry about the obstacles that may be there. Don't worry about the price that you may have to pay. Don't worry about the persecution that certain is to come in your life to some degree or another. Don't worry about that. Don't concentrate on that. Let the Lord take care of that. Cast these things upon God. But you know, as people, it's sometimes hard and sometimes difficult for us to remember what's important in life. One day in September, it was 99 degrees in San Antonio. A 10-month-old baby girl was accidentally locked in a car. Her mother and her aunt tried hysterically to unlock the door. Finally, as things worsened and worsened, as the baby was turning purple and starting to have foam around her mouth, a wrecker driver pulled up, grabbed a hammer, knocked out the back window, rescued the baby, heralded as a hero. But the mom got mad because he broke her window. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But sometimes, as people, we do things that don't make a lot of sense, too. To forfeit or exchange our soul, sometimes it's just for the smallest, littlest, insignificant. Well, you know, all the things that we might forfeit our soul or exchange it for are all small and insignificant, and they don't matter. As one would live here upon the earth just a few years and spend the rest of eternity. What's it going to feel like when we spend eternity in hell for forfeiting or exchanging our soul just for the smallest little thing? Sometimes I think about this. Sometimes I imagine this. We're all tempted. I'm tempted just as you are. And sometimes when I'm tempted, I say, am I willing to exchange my soul for this? What will it be like 1 million, 100 million, 1 billion years from now when I look back and I see that I gave my soul up for this? Sort of like the mom that got mad because somebody broke out her window and saved her baby. That's crazy. It's crazy to think that we'd exchange our soul for such a small little thing. Remember what's important. Seek after God and His righteousness. God has done everything that's necessary for us to be saved. He set in order the plan. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth and He lived in the form of a slave, and He preached the gospel, and He was humiliated, and He was persecuted and suffered greatly. Everything's been done. And all that remains is our decision. What is your decision? If you made the right decision, I encourage you to make it every day. Paul says, I die daily. Get up every day. Make that decision again, all over again. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you've never made that decision, I invite you to think about making it for the first time. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after Jesus. Lose your life for His sake and the sake of the gospel, and you will find it. We're going to extend the gospel invitation, Zion's call. What has the Lord asked of us to do? Simple obedience, that's the answer. Jesus came to earth and He did all of the hard things. He did all of the difficult things. He's the one that left heaven. He's the one that suffered great, great persecution as one who's innocent of any wrongdoing, who was crucified on the cross and bore your sins in His body while He was there. He's done all of the hard things. And now He asks you to do the simple things. To believe in Him. He says, unless you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. To believe in Him, trust. Put your trust there in Jesus Christ. Explicitly. He's told us to repent. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Just to turn away from the wrong to do what He says. That's all that He asks. He tells us that if we are willing to confess Him before men, that He will confess us before His Father and His angels. He is a disciple of mine. And He's also asked us to be baptized, immersed in water. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Washing away our sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb, added to the body of Christ, saved from our sins. If you're subject to the gospel invitation this morning, won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.